Toronto FC and the Argonauts, well, actually, MLSC announced yesterday, that's probably the best way to put it, announced that they have signed Bill Manning to a 5-year contract extension. He is president of Toronto FC and the Toronto Argonauts. A friend of the show, we're very pleased that Bill joins us right now. And Bill, congratulations, first and foremost. Secondly, I was only kidding when I said you got a lot of work in your hands. And I'm not just talking necessarily about players and stuff like that. So first and foremost, just if you could give us an update on where Toronto FC is right now in terms of their preparations. I know that they had to shut down. I believe it was, am I looking around, March 8th, March 7th because of positive COVID tests. Where are you guys right now in terms of your preparations?
Yeah, we did. It was unfortunate. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Appreciate it. We're back now. We're back full training. We just got approved to for everyone to return. We had, you know, everyone had quarantined and we had multiple days of negative tests. But it was, you know, it was a bit of a setback. We had to essentially be, you know, no training. And we had to quarantine for, I think, it was 7 or 8 days for the entire team. Those that were affected, the full 14. Those that continued to turn up negative, we were allowed to come back for a modified, and now we have everyone back, which is really good news. It's challenging for sure.
Bill, first, congrats, a 5-year extension for a sports executive. That's the anomaly of anomalies. So well done. Well done to you. I do have a serious question about, continuity. And I think this is something you talked about, but I'll just sort of ask it bluntly. Like, did you try to negotiate for this kind of term to make the larger argument that continuity, particularly continuity at the executive levels, ultimately breeds success? Or did this also come from MLSC, who are like, you know what, we want stability at the top, and we believe that stability at our executive sports level is what ultimately breeds success?
Yeah, no, it was both sides. You know, I am a big believer that you do need some stability. And when I first took this job, I remember telling Larry Tannenbaum and George Cope and Guy Lawrence at the time that, you know, TFC was a mess because of all the turnover, and they just could never get anything going. And that was important to me. Even when I came in, I didn't make a whole lot of changes. You know, just a few structurally and so on, but we kept things together because we had a good coach, good young GM, and a good roster. And so I think it was really important for the organization to continue to have that continuity with me at the helm and for me and my family at this stage of my career. We love it here, and we thought it would be, you know, it's really important for us to have that stability as well.
Yeah, Bill, I know Neil Davidson's article a couple of days ago, or I'm sorry, when the announcement was made, pointed something out that, and so much has happened over these past, I mean, I can't remember what happened last month, let alone what happened a couple of years ago. but your point, the point you just made was well taken, because very early, you could have, I suppose when you came in, you could have tied the can to Greg Vanney if you wanted to. You didn't. That worked out really well. It's great to talk about stability, but what to you determines whether or not stability really is, you know, something beyond a philosophical underpinning? Like, what was it about Greg that made you think, you know what? Yeah, I'm hanging on to this guy.
Yeah, you know, Greg is he's a student of the game. He was a good personality in terms of understanding what it means to work together with your general manager, work together with your team president. I use the word alignment a lot. I think it's the best franchises in any sport, you know, not just soccer. You generally have alignment between your ownership, your team president, your GM, your head coach, and you find success. And Greg was I found willing to work with us on what we felt we needed to do to build a champion. You know, that decision, you know, a non-decision, mm-hmm. right, keeping the coach, but still a decision. I thought about it really hard, and I thought it was Greg did nothing to to lose his job. He had made the playoffs. The team was still a 500 team at that point, and you know, we had added some key players. But I felt he deserved the opportunity to continue. I did know him a little bit from my previous stop, but I didn't know him well. And you know, there's an inclination for guys in my roles to bring in your own people. And I actually really debated. There was a coach out there who I'd worked with in the past who I thought about. But at the end of the day, I felt that would actually create more turnover amongst players and, you know, new coaches like to bring their own players. And I just felt that's not what this club needed at that moment. And, you know, I look back and I say that was one of the most important decisions I made, was not letting the coach go.
Bill, you know, you guys are the Petri dish for this. So you'll have, you know, your findings here actually go, in my opinion, beyond professional soccer. What's it been like to just try to figure out, one, where you're going to be playing, and then perhaps more importantly, you know, if you end up in Orlando and Tampa, I think we've seen with the Raptors, it really is a disadvantage to not be at home, even if you don't have a home fan base or massive amount of fans, just for player comfort. You're in the city that you're used to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what have you found? Because, like, you know, it's going to be a 2-year stretch, basically, where you guys have not been able to play at home.
Yeah, what we found in Hartford is when we first went down there, the group was, we had been playing well, because if you remember, we actually played a few games at BMO Field in September against Vancouver and Montreal, and then we went down to Hartford, and the group was feeling good. We had great accommodations, but then over time, you could see it drained on the players and it drained on the staff. And you know, we got knocked out first round of the playoffs, and it was a culmination of a lot of different things, but it is draining. And so, you know, as we now take this next step to go to Florida, we're very cognizant of that. We've actually invited families down. A number of players are going to bring their families down and you know, have accommodations down there and try to make it as normal as we can in what is not a very normal environment. But just that, trying to have everyone be together, because the biggest thing for us is, you know, when the players were in Hartford, all their families were still back here. And, you know, it's tough when you're in one place. I think we were there, you know, 14, 18 days at a time, and we'd be able to come back for maybe 48 hours. It was draining. So this time I think we've learned. And now in Orlando, where we're trying to make it more of a, we'll basically try to make it more at home by allowing the families to come down and be part of the experience.
Okay, that's the one team, Toronto FC. You know when your season's starting, I believe. I'll ask you about the Toronto Argonauts. First of all, how confident are you that we will see a 2021 CFL season, you know, in some capacity and some time frame? And of course, I'll have to ask you as well about, you can answer that first, and then we'll talk about the other question.
Sure. And look, I'm really excited about the Argos. On the soccer side, obviously I have a soccer background and I'm very involved in player personnel and all that. And on the football side, I get to kind of sit back and really see John Murphy and Pinball and Ryan get at it. And man, some of the players they've brought in, just from an eyeball test, me looking at their backgrounds and what they've accomplished, I'm really excited about some of the guys they've brought in. I am confident that we're going to play football this year. I really am. I think the provincial bodies right now are really starting to look at finding solutions for the sports teams, and especially the CFL, because we don't have to cross the border. Mm-hmm. So it's much easier. And instead of roadblocks, because everyone is more knowledgeable now of this virus, I think we're trying to find a way. And so I definitely see a light here at the end of the tunnel to get back playing football. You know, the big question will be fans and stands, and that is critical to our business in the CFL, as it is to MLS. But that again, you're also starting to see movement, especially, you know, you're seeing it down in the United States now with fans in the stands. And I think as we move forward, you know, with this pandemic, things are so fluid and they move so quick. And if things go in the right direction for us, you know, hopefully this summer we can be playing in front of fans. That would, you know, towards maybe in July, August, even into September. That is the plan. And I think that's when, you know, without a doubt, the CFL will be playing. So I'm confident. I'm confident that we're going to be playing this year, you know. And I think that's what we all want, what the players want, what we want.
How did you take the how did you greet the XFL news, if you want to call it that? Excited, skeptical, just, you know, let somebody else, let other people think about it, above my pay grade type of thing? Or how did you react to that?
To me, it's open-minded, you know, and I view it. Randy's talked a lot about, you know, creating alliances and affiliations with various football leagues around the world. I mean, I remember I met the folks from the German Football League and the Mexican Football League. We hosted them for an Argos game. And so I think, you know, this is just another opportunity to speak to football people, and Randy's trying to grow the game here. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what can come of it. I don't know what will come of it, but I'm excited to see what can come of it. And, you know, again, with the Argos, you know, here in Toronto, you know, we're trying to grow this team in a big market that, you know, has other big teams in it. And so, if some kind of relationship with the XFL helps us here in Toronto, we're all for it.